I'm going to begin with July 7th, that lucky 070707 date of this month.
Okay.
And the discovery of one of the largest wheat formations on record in the past quarter century, associated with a great flash of light that was seen by three eyewitnesses. It was early that Saturday morning of July 7th, around 1:35 a.m., a paralegal, he's a professional, and his name is Gary King. He's working also on a linguistics degree at Cardiff University in Wales. And he had traveled to Wiltshire with his girlfriend, Paula Presdy-Jones, to the top of Knapp Hill in Wiltshire, England, for a crop circle night watch, one of the most popular places to watch. Now, Knapp Hill overlooks the famous East Field owned by the Carson family, where some of the most outstanding crop formations since the early 1990s have appeared over and over and over. Another crop formation researcher, Winston Keach from Yorkshire, had already set up on his own night watch on top of Knapp Hill with five cameras, two infrared at his Jeep about 200 feet down the hill, and three on tripods up on top of Knapp Hill. Now, why was Winston Keach on Knapp Hill with so many cameras and recorders? Well, it turns out that 16 years ago, in 1991, Win Keach says that he had a close encounter with a ball of light in that same East Field, and that it created a crop circle right in front of his eyes. And he said that it all happened in just 3 seconds. He said the ball of light started out like the size of a human fist, and then it suddenly expanded to a 20-foot diameter circle of light. And then the wheat beneath, this golden-colored sort of floating pancake, started to wave around and laid down in a perfect circle. After that, the pancake went back to the size of a fist and slowly drifted away into some bushes and disappeared. And Wynne said that it felt to him like that ball of light was teasing him, as if it were saying, "I'll show you what I can do. You can't catch me on film, but I am here." And every single summer since 1991, Win Keach has gone to Wiltshire for a couple of weeks, setting up his camera equipment, trying to catch that phenomenon on video. Well, what happened the night of July 7th, 2007, at Knapp Hill and the East Field might be one of the most important events in crop formation history. Suddenly, at 3:08 a.m., all three people were startled when a bright white flash of light, like a huge camera flash, they said, lighted up all of the East Field and the surrounding land. There was no sound. It was not lightning and thunder. Something strange had occurred. And Gary King now describes what they saw.
We had a big white flash of light, which I can only describe as almost like lightning, which covered the whole land and was like a big camera flash going off everywhere.
So you did see this flash with your human eyes?
With our human eye, we registered a big white flash, all three of us.
It should have blasted out the infrared camera. What does the infrared video show?
The infrared just shows an EM pulse. It doesn't show a white light.
Norwegian video and TV producer Terry Toftenes got a call about the East Field event on Tuesday, July 10th, from a colleague in Wiltshire. Terry had produced one documentary about the crop circle mystery and was working on a second. Terry learned that not only had there been cameras running when the very bright flash of light was seen from Knapp Hill by three witnesses, but the crop formation found after the light flash is one of the biggest in Wiltshire history. The massive pattern covered 96,600 square feet. That's 2.25 acres, with some 100 circles in a very strange design spread across 1,033 feet long and nearly 500 feet wide. Terry got on the first plane from Norway and met up with Winston Keach to study the camera evidence. They were disappointed the tapes had run out in most of the cameras before the light flash. There was no image of the East Field during the flash, but Terry and Winston did find two frames in one infrared camera had recorded an electromagnetic pulse that left a 4-millisecond trace. Terry thinks it's the trees atop Woodboro Hill in the distance. You can see that frame and early morning images taken about 12 minutes after the light flash at my news website, earthfiles.com. At the top of the headlines page is a hot link to this Eastfield report. Now here is Terry Toftenes from Norway about the infrared camera evidence.
I have analyzed it frame by frame. On the first frame where this flash happens, there is a electronic kind of shock. And you have to remember that the camera was connected to a video recorder with a cord. Because this camera was on the rooftop of the car, the recorder was inside the car. So the cord picked up this because the cord was like an antenna to electrical impulses. So what I think I can see is that the first kind of shock on the first frame is the electromagnetic shock from the flash. On the next frame, you see the actual flash, the light from the flash on this tiny part of a frame. And then for the next 6 or 7 frames, the camera has obviously had sync trouble because it's trying to regain its synchronization. Because the electromagnetic impulse from the flash was so hard that it shocked the electronics.
And so we have 3:08 as the time that there is this big flash of light. It affects the cameras. It affects their ability to interact with each other. And that you have a 4 milliseconds frame of what you think are the trees atop Woodboro Hill.
That's correct. What happens after the flash is that Wynn runs down to the car, changes the tape. That takes approximately 5 minutes. He gets back on the top, and Gary suggests that that flash could have meant something. Maybe that's it, you know, they kind of joked. So why not try to swipe the fields again, even though it's totally black? And he took the most light-sensitive camera he had, which was on a tripod on the top. And this was, again, connected to a camcorder, so it was recorded on mini-DV tape. And he swipes over the field, and then they saw in the viewfinder a shadow in the field, which was on the place that the crop circle later was seen as a full crop circle. But it was a shadow. And this was approximately 12 or 13 minutes afterwards. So we are now talking about 20 minutes past 3. That's when they saw the first shadow. And then as the light came, because then it started to get some clouds drifted away from the moon, and they had a little stray of moonlight. And then right after, they could see also with their eyes that there was a shadow there, and they took a picture with the still camera, and then they could see that the formation was there. And from that point, the normal Sony camera was able to pick it up as well. So from that time, 3:20, you got the crop circle there. If you listen to the audio from the recordings, you can hear they are kind of cheering and yelling. And because of their excitement, of course, they told me that they felt that it was kind of an answer to the discussion that they had been having about the existence of other realities, the nature of consciousness. So they felt that this intelligence or this whatever is making the crop circles just wanted to show them that, aha, you might be on the right track. That was their feeling. After they had done more recordings, then they were also able to see it with their own eyes. And at that time, now we have come to about 4 o'clock, then Gary and his girlfriend decide to go down and have a look at the crop circle. So they jump in their car and drive around Eastfield, where there is a small parking place, and then they walk into the formation as Wynn still is filming them from the hilltop. And we have the video of them coming into the formation and, again, dancing. They were absolutely, totally, extremely excited when they got into the crop circles, which they knew then that they were the first people on this planet entering that particular formation.
I was fortunate enough to be the first one to walk in it with my friend, and he continued to film us. We drove down the road just after 4 o'clock and walked into it just as the light was really coming up. And from walking right through the formation, some of the circles were very low to the ground. The lay was very low. And the next circle you would walk into, the lay would be like 6 inches off the floor. And as you trod on it, it would crunch. And some of the centers were beautifully laid out in nets, which I took some photos on my camera phone. And then some of the centers were actually broken. There was indications that some of them had very strong power and that others were taken with great care and precision and beautifully laid. It was a very contrasting formation in terms of each individual circle.
I have been in formations in the UK in which the plants seem to be slightly raised above the soil, and when you put your foot on them, it is almost like putting it on something that would be crystalline or glass.
You're exactly describing what was happening to us, yes. It felt like a sacrilege to tread on it, you know. It felt like we were breaking something so beautiful as we were treading. We could hear it crunching underneath our feet.
I also had that experience when I stepped on the formation that I was stepping. Very similar, if you're used to stepping on very cold snow, it kind of cracks under your feet. It's the same sound. These stems were not broken. They were just gently bent. And people in that have been doing crop circle research over the years. They have found that this is how it usually is in genuine formations, that the stems are not broken. They are gently bent so that the crop is not, it's not dying, it's growing. And if the crop is young, it will kind of straighten up again. Yeah, but there's a couple of other things I would like to mention, Linda. First of all, there was a very strong radiation from the formation. Gary told me that the first morning when he was in there, pretty soon he had a bad headache. I experienced the same myself when I was in there. That was 4 days later. Inside this crop formation, I'd been there for like half an hour when I had a terrible headache. And it lasted until I left the formation. When I got into the car and drove away, after a while, the headache was gone again. And there's a couple of other interesting things, because this field is not a totally flat pancake field. It actually curves up and down. When you look at the formation from above, an aerial photo, you see that the circles are absolutely 100% correct circles. To make circles look 100% correct from the air in a field that is actually like up and down hill, you cannot create 100% correct circles on the ground. You have to create ovals. And that's the case here. All the circles that are laying in where it's more like a hill than a flat surface, they are ovals. To construct an oval, 100% correct oval, in total darkness, not one, but several several ovals, large ones. The largest one is like 50 meters, which is like 150 feet or something. Under those conditions, I would consider that absolutely impossible. And everyone that I have spoken to, people that are civil engineers that are used to land survey, they say that to do that in under those conditions and also within that limited time frame, they regard as absolutely impossible for humans to do.
And last Thursday, George, on July 19th, Terry Tofsinis, Winston Keach, and Gary King held a press conference in the Alton Barnes Coronation Hall to explain their eyewitness and photographic evidence. What's clear to investigators is that the massive Eastfield formation occurred sometime between 1:35 a.m. and 3:20 a.m., and the British press is calling it the, quote, 90-minute formation, unquote. In the next half hour, I have disturbing news to report about aggressive military helicopters that showed up over the Eastfield in the days after all the circles appeared, and I'm talking about up to Wednesday this past week.
This is an absolutely incredible story, Linda, and the rest of them throughout the night with you tonight are just as mind-boggling, you know?